crafting cow, and it was like moo. You didn't even see it coming. Oh, that was good. That was really. It was funny. Okay.
No.
Hey guys.
The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want.
Guys, what are you doing? It's me, Jesus.
We take up our cross every day for you, Jesus.
Well, I thank you, and I appreciate that. But the cross, oh, the cross is where it begins, not where it ends.
Thou art the beginning and the end, Lord, Alpha and Omega. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Guys, I just want you to be real with me.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Julia, it's really great when you worship me.
Oh, yes, praise you, Lord Jesus.
It's just that sometimes I feel like, I feel like you're just putting on a show.
Oh, Lord, please forgive me for putting on a show and being fake.
It's okay. I forgive you. I forgive you.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace and your mercy.
Guys, when you talk, just talk like you normally would.
Praise hallelujah.
No. Like we're having a regular conversation. Say what you would say. Okay, Julia, tell us a joke.
What?
Like you were doing before. Tell us a joke.
Thou art holy, Lord.
That's not a joke.
Sorry.
Guys, what are you doing?
We're living for you, Jesus, just like we always do.
Well, stop trying so hard to live for me. Live in me. Because when you truly live in me, you'll know who you are and what you're living for. I just want something a little bit deeper.
It was funny, okay? Knock-knock jokes can be good.
No more.
They can.
No.
It was like...
I bet you know the one about the orange, too.
I do.
Please, no more knock-knock jokes.
It was good.
I have to have my pulpit for this Sunday. It's a little crooked, somewhat like the pastor, I guess. Matthew chapter 20, if you have your Bibles this morning. I'll get it. No, I'm just going to slide it out of the way. We have a lot of things going on. A lot of announcements have already been made. But this coming Sunday night, a week from tonight, David Gibbs III is going to be here at 6 o'clock in the evening. David is third generation attorney, Christian Law Association. He will be speaking on Thursday at Bangor Baptist Church all day with a Word of Life conference. That if you're not aware of that is a leadership and discipleship conference. It's going on all day on Thursday at Bangor Baptist Church. And you could be a part of that if your Thursday is available. I would encourage you to be. And if you're interested in that, please see me after the service. We'll get you signed up for it. Then Sunday morning, David Gibbs will be speaking at Bangor Baptist. And Sunday night, he will be here at 6 o'clock. Now, I know a lot of you don't normally come on a Sunday night. Please consider being here next Sunday night. He's going to be here. He's literally, truly one of the great speakers in America talking about legal issues facing the churches today. And that's something you won't want to miss. Herman Baptist is coming over. They're closing their doors and we'll be here. And please do not let one of the competition churches outnumber us in our own church. All right, so it's very important that you be here, if nothing else, to make sure we are the larger crowd than them, because they are a church roughly our size. They may be a little bit larger than we are, and I don't have a prideful bone in me, but I don't want them on that day. Do you understand what I'm saying here? All right, so this is very important to me, and so obviously, but it'll be worth the trip, and I hope you're here next Sunday night at 6 o'clock for David Gibbs. I'm excited about him coming. I think it's a tremendous honor for us as a church to have him here, and I hope that you will come out and support him and your church as well. The other thing I want to mention before I get into the message, we're in Matthew chapter 20, we'll be reading verses 1 through 16, is that Pastor Libby's widow, Mrs. Libby, is here with us this morning. If you don't mind, I'd like to have you stand. I know you don't appreciate this, but Mrs. Libby, would you stand so folks can recognize you? There she is right there. And Ronnie Libby has been in heaven for a year now, and one of the great, great men in the ministry that I have known in my life. And there's been times in the past where folks have said to me, "Boy, Stan, you've really done something really exceptional in Exeter. Nobody's really done what you've done before." And I'm always quick to point out to them, a long time ago, Pastor Libby set the standard of what could be done in this area. And nobody has done what he did before or since then. Just a great man that I have a huge amount of respect for, and he's gone on before us, but we will see him again, and very honored to have his wife with us this morning. So thrilled that you're here. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we look at Matthew chapter 20. Obviously, Christ is a great storyteller, and we're going to look at this story this morning in Matthew chapter 20. And the Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when they had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And went out about the third hour, and others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they would have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, This last hath wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be the first last, for many be called, but few chosen." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning and the incredible story that we have here today to be applied to our lives in 2015. I pray that we'd not miss this message on stewardship, on our talents, on the time we spend with you is not lost. Thank you for our time in your house this morning. Bless what remains. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The story, the call goes out, the day wears on, the pay is dispersed, and the reward is the same. The call goes out. If you're a follower of the NFL at all, you'll know that this week is draft week. There'll be folks setting by their phone, athletes, college players, hoping that they will get the call from one of the teams early on, because the sooner the phone rings, the more money involved. And then the later on with this, as you wait and through the second and third rounds, there's less money involved and you're not worth as much. There are several calls that go out in the life of the Christian. There's the call to believe. If you've been listening to David Jeremiah, he's been doing a study on the book of Acts tied in with the television series that is going on right now. And if you look in the book of Acts, you're in Matthew now, don't lose your place in Matthew chapter 20, but we're going to do a little Bible study this morning. And in the book of Acts, obviously, Jesus has left the scene, the Holy Ghost has been imparted to the believers, and revival is breaking out. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, Peter gets up and preaches. And that guy that ran off and denied the Lord earlier now is a firebrand for the gospel. And in chapter 2 and verse 41, they that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now that's pretty good preaching right there when you give an invitation. 3,000 not only hit the altar, but 3,000 confessed Jesus as their Savior. Now that's good news. And then if you go on in chapter 4 of Acts in verse number 4, the Bible says that, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000. So we had 3,000 souls saved in the first service, and then the next time they preached 5,000 men. Well, if 5,000 men were saved, then you got to figure where there's some men, there's some women, where there's some men and women, there's some kids involved. And so chances are there was probably a pretty good group that came forward on that day as well. And then if you go over to Acts chapter 5 and verse 14, the call goes out, and believers were the more added, and the Lord multitudes both men and women. So we don't know what the multitudes were, but before we had 3,000, we had 5,000 men, and multitudes, you got to figure, is a fairly significant number. So the call is going out to believe. The call to believe. Say that with me. The call to believe. Now that call is still going out today. It went out back then in the early church and is still going out. And this morning, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, there is a call right now from this preacher, from my voice, but more importantly, from the voice of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in this room, working amongst us, tapping on your heartstrings, saying, would you please believe? All eternity depends on it. And that call has gone out over the years, over the centuries, and in every century, in every generation since Christ walked the earth, folks have chosen to believe. And they've trusted Christ as their Savior. That call is still going out. The call goes across the entire world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 19 says, because of that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There is no chance, hear me now, there is no chance that anyone has ever lived, breathed the breath of life, come to an age of accountability, and passed on into eternity. No one has ever lived that did not understand that there was a God in heaven that cared about them and they were accountable to him. It cannot happen. The Bible clearly teaches that the call of God goes out everywhere. Now, I know skeptics will say, well, what about that person in the third world, in the tribes, in the backwoods of wherever? I don't care where it is. The Bible says everyone has clearly seen. Now, obviously, missionaries go. But where missionaries have not been, God has revealed himself. It happens. We've had folks go and get into tribes and jungles and things where no one has ever been before. And a missionary will share the gospel with them and they will look at them through broken language or whatever and say, I have heard of this before. To their shock. No, I'm the first one here. God reveals himself. If you're in the adult Sunday school class this morning, they're going through a Genesis thing and answers in Genesis and the Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. It's not the lack of evidence, it's the suppression of the evidence that stops people from believing. The evidence is everywhere. All you gotta do is walk into a nursery in a hospital and you see a newborn baby. Holy. You talk about something miraculous that a man and a woman could come together. And through the miracle of conception and deception in some cases and all of the things that go on and a life is born, folks, there is a God. Amen. And obviously the call goes out. The master of the vineyard says, boy, you want a job? Yeah, I want something to do. Well, go, I'll pay you a penny a day. Living Bible says 20 bucks for the day. Whatever the wages of the day is, nowadays probably 100 bucks a day. It seems like folks won't work for much less than 1,000 bucks a day, or whatever the pay is. This is the agreed amount. You go do it. Oh, good. I'll do that. I'll do that. So they go out first thing in the morning. I get to work today. The call goes to everyone. And all through the book of Acts, Acts chapter 9, Saul was out persecuting Christians. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. He got permission to arrest people. And he goes out on the Damascus Road, and there he is, and the voice of God strikes him down, and he sees this bright light, and he falls down, and the voice says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And folks will say, "Well, you know, if God wanted to get my attention, he could do that. But until he does, well, it's your spirit that makes that not happen." See, the deal with Saul was he was doing it because he truly believed he was serving God. Even in all his hatred and animosity to the things of the new church, the apostle Paul, then called Saul, thought he was honoring the God that you and I serve by doing what he was doing. And I'll tell you what, if you truly want to know God, God will reveal himself to you, even if it takes striking you down, throwing you in a hospital bed, breaking your arms, whatever it is. If you truly want to hear from God, you will hear from God. On the other hand, there are folks running around denying God, saying there is no existence of God, and their heart quenches the Spirit of God, and they will not be hearing from him. Just like the thief on the cross looked at Christ and said, "If you be the Son of God, why don't you just take yourself down and show us what you can do?" Well, that was not a spirit of one that truly cared about the things of God. On the other hand, there was a guy hanging on the other side of Christ that said, "What are you saying? Are you crazy? This man's done nothing amiss. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said, "Today, buddy, you're going to be with me in paradise." See, there's a difference. It all comes down to what your heart is willing to listen to. I don't know about you, but I'm not bragging. God has given me a heart for the things of him. And at a very young age, I was interested in the things of God. And chances are 99% of you in this room are interested in the things of God, or you would not be here. And there could be 1% of you that are wondering about the things of God. Do not close yourself off to the voice of God. And I'm telling you, he will reveal himself to you. The call of God goes out. Obviously, it did in the early church. It still does today. There's the call to believe, and then there's the call to receive. Now, if you look in the New Testament, in your King James Version of the Bible, the word receive is used in many places, and really it's the acceptance of. Like, we had a skit here this morning, and we had some people here that said they had received the Lord, but they had a fairly shallow relationship with the Lord, and the Lord's trying to get them to be serious about him. Now, there's levels of Christians. There's baby Christians, there's growing Christians, there's mature Christians, there's those that really seem like they're getting it, and then others say, "Well, I believe, but you see no fruit from it whatsoever." And I suppose we could spend the rest of the month talking about levels of Christianity, and that's not the point of my message this morning, but the reality of it is that once I've heard the call of Christ in my life and been struck down and God has gotten my attention, now I can decide, okay, I've heard the voice of God, I've heard the call. Will you come and work in my vineyard? And there could have been people there, the story doesn't record, there could have been some folks that were there saying, "No, not for a penny a day, I'm not going, I'm worth more than that." And there are folks that will hear the call of God this morning and say, "No, I'm not doing that, you ain't calling me a sinner. I know some of you Christians, I know what some of you folks are like, and if that's what it is, I don't want to be one." And sad to say, they might be right. But it doesn't change the truth of the message. The truth of the message is, regardless, folks, of how pathetic you and I are as Christians at times, the truth of the message is everyone needs Christ, whether we're living it right or not. Every now and then you and I will hear, and they'll make the news of another pastor that fell, or another church denomination that's decided to legalize same-sex marriage. All of those things that throw an indictment and cast this large shadow on all of us. And that's Satan at work. And I'll tell you this, I know that the Church of Jesus Christ is God's church, because if it were not, it would have died a long time ago. You and I would have destroyed it. Sad to say, but it's God's church, and it just keeps marching on. And I'm so glad to be a part of it. Christ said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I'm telling you, God's church just keeps marching on, and it's no credit to you and I. It's a credit to the power of God Almighty and His Spirit in it that just keeps moving it, and Satan is going berserk, and I'm loving it.
That's right.
Every day he has a migraine is good news for you and I. So there's the call to believe, but there's the call to receive, and that's the matter of accepting the gift. Here it is. Christ died for you. Will you receive the gift? Some folks, no, I don't need no baby to save me. Well, you can take that right off into eternity, pal. And for all eternity, you'll have a chance to reconsider that, but there'll be no chance. See, the Bible says that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Adolf Hitler will say Jesus is Lord. Genghis Khan will say Jesus is Lord. Joseph Stalin will say Jesus is Lord. Stan Griffin has already said Jesus is Lord. See, the difference is, I said it on this side of the grave. They're saying it on the other side of the grave. It's too late for them, but every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Let me tell you, if you've heard the call, go ahead and believe and receive it. Accept it for yourself. And the Bible says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Say that with me. Thou shalt be saved. Here's the deal. If you say it and you believe it, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You and I talk about what we believe in. I believe in the New England Patriots. I believe they were going to win the Super Bowl, and they did. That was a miracle, okay? Now, obviously, we can joke about some things, but there came a time in my life when I believed and I realized that I was in love with Emily Levitt. And if I hadn't said so, it would have gone nowhere from there. How's she going to know? Well, my manly characteristics, I guess, you know, just look at all she gets. I mean, my word, you know. Now, you can joke about all that all you want, but I'll tell you what, marriages fall apart for lack of communication. Isn't that true? Okay? Now, let me tell you something. Christians fall apart from lack of prayer, from lack of talking to the Lord, from lack of telling him what you're thinking. Now, he knows what you're thinking. What you really need to say is he needs to hear you say what you're thinking so you know what you're thinking.
Duh.
I know that sounds ridiculous, but that's how it works. We need to verbalize what's in our heart. And to receive Christ as Savior, if you'll confess with your mouth to verbalize what's in your heart, you know what? I believe in Jesus. Say that with me. I believe in Jesus. And then you receive him. Once you have, he comes into your heart. He says he'll never leave you or forsake you. Now, I've heard the call. I've believed. I've received through my mouth into my heart. Now he becomes a part of me. Now I need to go out and I need to conceive. And what happens is, once you are a believer, then it changes you to a point that you start doing things you never did before. We used to sing a song in youth group, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. He changes me into what he wants me to be like. You know, I was reading a report. Couples that have been married for 50 years or longer, scientific, this is a fact, and you and I have seen it. Couples been married that long start to look like each other. They do. I know some of you are offended by that, but I'm sorry. I'm looking at some of you now. You do. You know, now you want a divorce. It's too late. They do. I've said that, and it's true. Christian, you and I, the more we live for, married to Jesus Christ, the more we should look like him. Don't miss that. If you and I don't look like Christ after Stan, here I am, I'm on 49 years of knowing, if I don't look like Christ at this point, something's horribly wrong with my relationship with him. Now, does Christ wear Dickies? Probably not, okay? But you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying. And the love for Christ changes us and makes us to be more like him, so that what he asks us to do, we want to do. And the purpose of Matthew chapter 20, going out in the vineyard, this is a stewardship message, folks, that when you hear the call of God, and he says, I got a job I want you to do, they jump on it and do it. Now, they're doing it for the financial gain in this story, but there's a greater picture going on here that Jesus is painting for us, and we can't miss that, is that when he calls us and saves us, and we receive the message of Christ, there ought to be a desire in us for it to go out and do something with it. And so he's given us a vineyard to go out and work in. The vineyard would be the garden, the potato field. I always think of peas. And from here on out, I'm going to be picking peas in my message, because I hated picking peas. And Dad would give me a row to pick. And he'd say, when you're done this row, this is all you need to do today. Just pick this one row. And I'd take my bucket, I'd flip it upside down, I'd sit down on it, and there I'd sit looking at the roll, hoping through osmosis something would happen. It never did. And it would take me all day to pick the peas, and it wouldn't happen. Finally, at the end of the day, Mom would come out and pick them for me, but I wasted the whole day sitting there. I hate peas. All right? Now there. That was some good therapy. I feel so much better now. Okay? Now, don't miss this, because God gives us a job to do, and he says, listen, here's your job. I want you to go out there, and for the day's wages, I'm going to give it to you. So the call goes out, but here's the warning. Don't miss the warning. And this is exciting to me, because you've not missed the warning. But in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 16, if you're over in Acts now, go back to our text. In Matthew chapter 20, our last verse, so the last shall be first, and the first shall be last, for many be called, but few chosen. Many be called, but few chosen. Say that with me. Many be called, but few chosen. Here's another verse, a companion verse with that, if you will, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14, enter ye into straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. The big crowd, if you want to follow the crowd is headed for hell this morning. That's where the big crowd is going. That's where the mob is going. If you want to follow the mob scene, if you want to be with all of them, but wait, that's not where they're all going. Because in straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. Say that with me. Few there be that find it. Here's the deal. Most people don't go to heaven. That ought to be a sobering statement. Most people don't go to heaven. Why is that? Because many are called. All are called. But few are chosen. How does that work? Well, there's a crowd out there who will say, well, if God didn't choose you, you don't get to choose him. Baloney. God chose everyone. But on the other hand, some will turn and choose him. But few are chosen. And the sad part is that most people you and I know in life are dying and going to hell. Most people don't go to heaven. But you know what? If you're here and you're on your way to heaven and you've heard the call of God, say amen.
Amen.
If you're here and you're on your way to heaven and you've heard the call of God, say amen.
Amen.
How great is that? I'm not kidding. Now, I know the warning is that most people don't go to heaven, but we do. We do. Why? Not because you're in the Cornerstone Baptist Church, because you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and you heard the call. And if you know Christ as your personal Savior this morning, you have heard the voice of God in your life. That's incredible. I've never heard from Ronald Reagan. He's one of my heroes. I've never heard his voice personally. Would have been fun. But I know the one who made Ronald Reagan, and I've heard his voice. I look forward to dying and going to heaven, but it makes me nervous. Not that I'm going, but you know how nervous you're going to be when you know you're going to stand before God Almighty? I get nervous thinking about seeing Pangburn sometimes. You know, if there's, well, every now and then you think of someone you might get to meet. I'll meet David Gibbs next Sunday night. That guy's famous. That guy's famous. I probably won't be nervous. That's blowing my point, isn't it? But anyway, there are folks that you'll meet that this is really going to be, we're going to meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Jesus Christ. I'm going to be nervous. What do you say? Thank you? Bible says we'll cast our crowns at his feet. Nothing we have that he gave us we'll want to keep. We'll want to give it all back. I am so undeserving. I'm telling you to think I've heard his voice and I've heard the call and now I get to serve him. And we're running out of time here, but I want to get in the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Most people don't get the call of God, but you and I did. Now, what happens in the story is, as the day wears on, I got saved at 4. I've been in the vineyard. I've been picking peas, looking at the rows, working. Alfred comes over. I'm not making this up. He's here. He can swear to it. This happened in my life. Still mad about it. I'm picking peas, working in the vineyard. Here comes Alfred. He's coming over. Dad liked Alfred better than me. That always bugged me. He comes over. I'm picking peas. I'm not done my row yet. Dad looks at us. Hey, you want to ride the go-kart? What's Alfred going to say? No, I want to pick peas. No, he's on the go-kart. He jumps on the go-kart. He's out running around the field doing power turns in the go-kart. I'm picking peas. Well, that's making me mad. I'm picking harder. I'm picking faster. I'm looking at Dad saying, why is he getting to ride the go-kart? Dad looks at me, because you pick peas better when you're ugly, you know? You know? He was right. Made me mad. And so here you and I are, and what happens is someone else comes along and they're doing a job for the Lord, and what do? We get envious of why is it that their job looks easier? Why is it that I have to pick these peas? Why is it I have to minister here? Why is it Scott Searles is off in Florida ministering and I'm stuck in Maine? How is that working? Why is that fair? Why is it that Mark Arnold gets to be the full-time pastor? I'm running a stupid oil company. Why is that fair? You can, honestly, you can, now listen, I have no problem with Scott in Florida. I have no problem with oil, but I'll tell you what, you can get a BA serving the Lord if you're not careful. And what happens, these guys, they're all serving the Lord. They're all working for the master. But at the end of the day, at the payday, here's the deal. One guy gets saved at 4, lived to 80. What's the pay? Eternal life, home in heaven. That's not bad. Another guy got saved at 20, lived to 40. What's the pay? Eternal life, home in heaven. Really? Another guy got saved at 40, lived to 80. What's the pay? Eternal life, home in heaven. Guy got saved at 60, lived to 80. Guy got saved at 80. Lived to 80. What's the pay? Eternal life, home in heaven. And you know what? Yay for them. Yay for them. And for you and I to sit back and say, well, Lord, I got saved at 4 and I'm stuck here until I'm 80 picking peas. What's the deal? There is dignity in work. You don't miss out on anything serving the Lord. If you get to do it your entire life, thank God you were saved young rather than old, because I know the baggage that comes from serving the world. And let me tell you something. It's hard serving the Lord It's harder not to.
That's right.
Did you hear me? It's hard serving the Lord. It's harder not to. The best deal you and I can have is to know Christ early, live for him all your life, and die and get whatever he wants to pay us, because it's a good deal. Don't miss that. John chapter 21, we're out of time. Jesus is talking to Peter, says someday you're going to die, they're going to grab you, they're going to take you where you don't want to go. Peter looks over at John, and he says, well, what about John? And Jesus looks at him and says, listen, I don't care if he lives until I return. What's that to you? And what Jesus was saying is, listen, you take care of Peter, and I'll take care of John. Stick to your own problems, take care of your own business, do your own job. Does that make sense? I'd look at Dad and say, Dad, why is it I have to do this? Linda's not doing anything. Linda's my sister, the middle child. Had an older brother, North Carolina. Linda's not doing anything. Linda's my problem. You do what you're supposed to. I believe for the church to be happy, for the church to be serving, the church to be serving, for the church to be working. Jeff McLeod, don't you worry about what George Allen's doing. You worry about what Jeff's doing. George, don't you worry about what Jeff's doing. You worry about what George's doing. Peter, you stay away from George. You take care of Peter. Isn't that what he's saying? We get caught up. Churches get split up, fighting, infighting. None of this is going on now to my knowledge. If it is, stop it. But the best time to preach on this stuff is when it's not happening. But the reality of it is that if you want to work in God's vineyard and get the reward that he has for you, don't you worry about anybody else. You worry about you right here. Just you and the Lord. Just do what you can do. The best you can do it for as long as you can do it. That's stewardship. Hear the call, believe, receive, conceive. And I'm telling you, the reason why the Church of Jesus Christ isn't growing is because we've got a whole bunch of Christians that don't look anything like Jesus. Let's start looking like him. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time in your house. Oh, what a good deal to hear the call from you, to get to work for you. Thank you that we have the Mark Arnolds, the Scott Searles, the George Allens, the Peter Bragdons, Jim Griffins, and any number of people I could list off this morning serving you. God, I pray that we'd get our eyes off of each other and just concentrate on what we can do for you to give you our very best. Lord, if there are those here this morning that have never said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior, if they believe, they need to receive. And they do it by saying so, by telling you so, by hearing themselves say it. Lord, I believe in you. Forgive my sins. Come into my heart and be my Savior. I hope that every person in this room has said those words, because it matters. If they haven't, they will someday. I pray that it's on this side of the grave, on this side of eternity. And then, Lord, if there are those of us that are looking around thinking others have it better than we do, I pray we'd stop that. You'll settle all the accounts. You'll make things right. Life is not fair. Lord, time goes by so quickly, but we'll open the altars. We'll give folks a chance to respond. And most of all, I pray that every person here has said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. And if they haven't, I pray right now they'd say those words and then get out of their seat and come down and take my hand. And we could pray together and they could tell me they trusted Christ today. Oh, what a great day that would be. On the 21st anniversary of the Cornerstone Baptist Church, I pray that we'd close this service exactly where we're supposed to be 21 years later. Bless this time, please. In Jesus' name, amen.